Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Paddle Pod, your weekly podcast covering professional paddle, presented by Hugen Gons. We're on to episode 69. And as always, joined by my co-host here today, Hugo. It's great to have you on. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Gons. Just for the reference of our viewers, we've been trying to sort out my camera for the past hour. And for some reason, the software that works unbelievably well for Gons and allows you all to see his perfect hairline and well, great mouth and teeth is not working for me. So hopefully it'll be sorted for the next episode. But yeah, apologies for that. And also lucky number 69, obviously, Gon's your favorite number. So excited for the episode in that sense as well.
Maybe let's keep it PG, Hugo, for this one.
Agreed.
But yeah, hopefully next week we'll have tech issues, camera issues sorted. Yeah, it's been kind of frustrated sitting here for 1 hour, but we're very excited to get the episode underway. And yeah, as you did say, it is a big episode. The French Open has just gone by, and once again, Goyo and Tapia have been dominant. This time they beat Chingalan as well, once again, in a 6-2, 6-1 spanking. I mean, it was really that bad. But yeah, Hugo, I want to start with you. What were your thoughts?
Well, Gons, I thought you said we were going to keep a PG and you went straight away with spanking. So yeah, it's a bit aggressive. But yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest. I think it was, in terms of level, one of the worst finals we've seen all season. And Gons, you actually flagged that after watching it, because I actually watched it a bit after the live match. And I totally agree. I just think, well, obviously from Chingalan's side in particular, it was one of their worst performances all season. I mean, when you look at Galan's performance individually, the fact that he has more unforced errors than winners is almost unheard of. He only generated 8 winners, and 11 unforced errors for him is a little bit too high. I mean, I wouldn't say it's that high when compared to other matches. Well, the big difference is the number of winners. I mean, 8 winners is almost what Chingodo has been generating per match. And then looking at Chingodo, 2 winners, 7 unforced errors. I mean, yeah, minus 12 contribution score. I've got to be honest, I don't think it could be much worse. It is true that when I was watching the final, I didn't have the feeling that it was this bad, but I think the stats don't lie. And yeah, just having a read over them now, it shows it. And I mean, you look at Tapia's performance, for example, 13 winners, 11 unforced errors. It's not bad, but it's not great. Obviously, Goyo, the MVP of the final, and we'll go on to his performance maybe in a little bit more depth later on. But yeah, I just think all in all, I was slightly disappointed. I was expecting a big, kind of big show. And obviously, we'd previously said that this could be decisive for the season. And I think it's over for Chingalan, being totally honest. I think with the number of tournaments left and the fact that there's something like an 8,000 point difference between Tapian Goyo and Galan and Chingoto in the ranking right now, I think it's too much of a gap for them to make it up. But yeah, what were your kind of initial and overall thoughts?
Yeah, with the final itself, as I did talk to you and mention offline, I thought it was the worst final of the year. I thought that in general, the level was really low. The only player that I actually thought played well and kind of to his standard is Goyo. But as you said, Tapia had moments of brilliance, but he also had not so good moments. I mean, he had quite high unforced errors. He missed, for example, a lot of rulos, which went directly to the fence. And then like Chingoto and Galan really just were all sorts. I mean, Galan once again kind of fell back to that mental state where he was rushing things, he was forcing things, he felt frustrated. I mean, after a really good final in Valladolid, I really thought that this time they had kind of gotten over that dip in form, both him and Chingoto. And it wasn't the case. I mean, I was also expecting it to be a massive final. I thought both pairs in the semi-final had played amazing matches, all players individually. And obviously this being the French major and the fact that, as you said, there are not a lot of tournaments left and this could really be the turning point of the season towards the number one race. I was expecting it to be an incredible match, and it was really disappointing because it just wasn't that at all. I mean, just looking at some of the stats as well, combined. So Tapia and Coyo, 24 winners combined. Normally that's one of them produces just that amount. And Galán and Chingoto, 10 winners as a pair combined. I mean, that's just insane. Normally in a good day, you know, you get Chingoto just getting 10 winners and Galán gets 20 odd winners. So just really not good level. And I mean, it's kind of funny because I thought the match actually started really leveled. And really that point by Coelho, really, because he was in the ground, he blocked it. And then Chingoto had a really easy volley to put away. And he actually just went straight to the fence. And it was essentially an unforced error because Coelho was down in the ground. Tapia was going to Coelho's side to cover that potentially. And it left Tapia's side completely open. And that was a 40-15 or 40-30, if I'm not mistaken. That really switched the whole match. Before that, it was quite equal. The couple of games where Chingoto and Galán, they didn't get any break points, but if I'm not mistaken, they kind of went to deuce and Coelho and Tapia had to take it out. But since that moment on, I mean, they get to their 40-15 up, that happens. Then Galán, I don't know what he goes into that state where he's Tapia does a por tres and he tries to do a willy, like the ball force, he gets the ball outside of the court. He's in a perfect place to just put it in. And he tries to this like trick shot and he misses completely. They get broken straight away. And from then on, everything just went downhill. So yeah, I mean, very disappointed. I do want to mention though, on Coelho's side, I mean, he's been the X factor, I think, the second half of the season. I don't think he took any holidays, to be honest. I mean, the guy did not go and lay on a beach. He was in the gym working and on court because honestly, since the summer break, he's turned up a different kind of animal. He was the reason why at the beginning Chingalán were winning. I mean, they were trying to go after him and they were doing so effectively. His smashing wasn't working as well. And he was really being kind of dominated by Chingoto. But now it's five tournaments, so five in a row and, you know, four out of four since the summer break. And he's honestly been at even Tapia's level and sometimes even better, like in this final. So massive prop to him. When they're both at this level, it's just kind of impossible to play against them.
Yeah, I think it's a great analysis that you just shared. And I think it goes back to my real kind of belief, which is the fact that Coelho, Tapia, and Galán are the three best players in the world by far. And two of them are playing together. So when they're in form, it's game over. Now, Chingoto's having the best season of his career and he's playing at a level that no one thought he could play at. But let's be honest, it's normal that he's kind of dipped in form. And the advantage from Coelho and Tapia's standpoint is, look, Tapia didn't have a great final. He was particularly erratic with his bandeja. Now we've seen him, he tries to go for a very slow bandeja with a lot of spin down the middle, which generates a kind of gap in between Galán and Chingoto. And then obviously that gap gets bigger if he manages to play the next ball to the other side, etc. So that's kind of one of Tapia's trademark shots is that very slow bandeja down the middle that doesn't bounce off the glass at all. I mean, it basically dies. And he missed so many of those shots. Also quite a few rulos. Now, we know it's not Tapia's speciality, but he has a good rulo. And it's up there with obviously not the best, but amongst the top five, I'd say. So surprisingly inconsistent, I'd say, in the final. But given that Coelho pulled his weight, was the MVP and was so good, it didn't matter. Now, I think fundamentally, this just reflects that what we were seeing in the race the race between Chingoto and Galán and Coelho and Tapia was a reflection of the fact that Chingoto and Galán were playing at 120%. Whereas Coelho and Tapia weren't really at their best. Now that they're at their best, it's just almost that they're unplayable, really. So, I mean, to be honest, I don't want to dwell too much more on the final because, yeah, I mean, it was the same final as we've watched for the past about 15 months, it feels like. And as you said, Guaya, he was unbelievable. He was definitely the MVP. What I'm loving about him is his confidence is back, in particularly in his defensive abilities. Now, we saw him struggle against Shingodo earlier on in the season and staying back sometimes because he was nervous about not being able to block Chingoto's bandeja and Chingoto's volleys. And now he's just rushing to the net and winning those points in the net, blocking everything. Basically what he's been used to since he joined up with Dabia. And I think the confidence is one of the reasons why he's been doing so well recently. So yeah, as you said, another massive win for them. It's 25-0 for Goyan Dabia. So 25 defeats in a row. Wins in a row, not defeats in a row. And 10 tournaments this season, so double digits for them. So yeah, I mean, water's wet, I'd say. Not much else from my side regarding the final and those two pairs. How about you, Gons?
Yeah, I mean, just the last point that they are unplayable at the moment, because if you want to play low, or you don't want to play any lobs, right? They're right there at the net and they're keeping pressuring you with their volleys. And we see how many times they win their serving game, like 40 love, 40 15, because that first volley after the serve, they apply so much pressure. Like you already have to essentially, you're already under a lot of stress, and they're both of them are so good that they're so on top of the net that they just like can put it away really easily. And then the problem is like, okay, you don't play short, let's play them a lob. Then they're just both smashing so well at the moment. I mean, Dabia probably the best smasher on tour. And Coelho right now is smashing incredibly well. At the beginning of the season, he wasn't smashing as well. And that was an issue. We did see a lot of times where in his performances and finals, he had really bad smashing statistics. But nowadays, he's not. He's back to his best smashing wise. So there's just no holes. I can't see any way that you can get after them, essentially.
No. And if Chingodo and Galan can't win more than three games against them, think about the other pairs, which maybe it's a good moment to move on and think about the other pairs and probably talk about the match that I really wanted to watch, basically the whole paddle world wanted to watch, which was obviously the semi-final between Lebron and Galan. Lebron obviously playing with Dineno and Galan obviously playing with Chingoto. And another spanking. I mean, I can't say I expected it, because I did have a feeling that they were going to win comfortably. I kind of had a hope that there was going to be a change in momentum and Lebron and Dineno were going to win and there was going to be a change in the course of the next few months in the paddle world. But really, it was more hope than actual expectation. Now, what I'm really surprised about is thinking about Galan individually, for example, in that match, 25 winners, 5 unforced errors. Sorry, 26 winners and 5 unforced errors. You compare those stats to the final and you say it's almost like two completely different players. Obviously, it's down to the fact that Goyo and Dabia are the best pair in the world and Lebron and Dineno are a top pair, but frankly, they're a level below Chingodo and Galan today. But it's still very surprising. So, yeah, I mean, maybe going into a bit more depth about that semi-final. Chingodo and Galan obviously beat Lebron Dineno 6-2, 6-2. So a very comfortable win. There are a few moments throughout the match where you felt that Lebron Dineno had a shot of maybe getting in front, maybe breaking. But it almost feels like they don't know how to play the key points. When everything's going their way and you see them play other pairs and everything's going their way, they play unbelievably well. And Lebron's just a constant winner-generating machine. Dineno's defensive abilities are through the roof. But you really do feel, or at least I get the sensation, that when the tough moments come, they struggle, even against the lower-ranked pairs. I mean, we've seen them dominating some matches and then suddenly, say they're a set up and a break up and suddenly they get broken in the second set and they lose the second set. Now that's, I think, a big red flag in their game. So yeah, Gons, maybe just your overall thoughts on obviously that epic battle between Lebron and Galan.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I kind of thought that it was similar to the final in the sense that it seemed fairly equal until there was a catalyst point and then everything kind of went downhill for Lebron and Dineno. And what I'm talking about is in the first set, there is a foot fault committed by LeBron. Very clear, by the way. I think there's a different kind of discussion if you want to say, like, why is the referee calling it out? Was probably a lot of people do have those kind of fouls, and, you know, why do they do it there? Why not at other matches, whatever? I think that's a different discussion. But the reality is he did call it. And it, I mean, the video clearly showed.
Blatant.
Yeah, it was just clear. So you can't deny that. And then from there on, LeBron just completely, I mean, went all sorts, as people can imagine, the way he reacts after these kind of things. So I thought they kept it tight at the beginning, especially the first couple of games. It is true that Chingalan did have a breakup, and then this happened, and then essentially that gave them the second break and sealed the set, basically. But in the second set, there was a moment as well, as you said, like, you know, it kind of seemed like, oh, they rallied back because there were two breaks down, I believe, and then they got one back. But they were just really never on it. I feel like one of the things that concerns me about this pair is I still don't know who's kind of constructing the point. And I feel like there's not like clear roles. I think there's quite a clear role in terms of who has to generate the winner. And obviously that falls mostly on LeBron. But I still like feel sometimes LeBron is also trying to construct the points. So I feel like LeBron's involvement is quite high, and he's essentially having a lot of the burden of the pair. And I'm just not sure he can handle all of that. I think the Neno played well, but not like, I don't feel like he's dictating the play as he used to. And I didn't feel like he would move the ball where he needed to move the ball, so then LeBron would get an easy shot or something like that. And I feel like a lot of the times it was actually LeBron trying to essentially dictate play, but I'm not sure that that's what he should be doing. I think obviously he should be focusing more on trying to generate the winners. And just to give some examples, LeBron was trying to find Galan's backhand a lot that match. He was trying to find that angle. Now, Galan obviously has played with LeBron for a long time. They know each other's games to a T, and it just seemed like he was a step ahead. Galan was always covering that angle, and he would either play it back to the fence on LeBron's side. He would either play it down the middle, like a volley, backhand volley down the middle, and catch LeBron off guard because LeBron's coming up to try and get the net. Or in one play, he did an incredible drop shot, which, if I'm not mistaken, the ball went out the door. So I feel like there, that wasn't the right tactic. And I feel that's kind of like a symptom of LeBron trying to dictate the play and trying to move, trying to do essentially too much. I think I also felt like there wasn't a lot of action down the middle. I feel like that's lacking. And when they did play down the middle, they did win the net and then generate opportunities to win the point. But from an individual like point of view, you mentioned the stats. I mean, Galan had an amazing performance, which is in a way kind of why I was so frustrated why the final wasn't an epic one, because you come up from that kind of performance and those numbers, and it's like, how you then have this massive drop off. But as you said, I mean, it's just completely different animals that they're playing against. But yeah, I mean, that's overall how I felt. I mean, I still think that from an offensive perspective, I'm not sure if LeBron can generate as much as someone like Galan can, right? I think the numbers that Galan had is what you want LeBron to have if they're going to be successful. And that's still a question mark for me. But the other thing that I just mentioned is the fact that it also feels like LeBron's trying to construct a lot of play when I think Martin should probably be more involved in that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you look at the Neno's statistics in particular, I agree he didn't have a great match, but he had no unforced errors, which is very impressive against a pair like Chingalan. And he had 8 winners, which, okay, it's not a huge amount of winners, but potentially you wouldn't really expect that much more from the Neno. But then if you go to the overall kind of winners versus unforced errors across both pairs, the big difference was the winners, because LeBron and Neno only had one more unforced error than Galan and Chingotto. But there was a 16-point difference across the winners between LeBron and Neno, who generated 23, and Galan and Chingotto, who generated 29. So what does this mean? I think it means that Dean and LeBron have to find a way to be more aggressive. I don't have much doubt. I think that, yeah, as I just said, they had as many enforced errors as Galan and Chingoto did, so they may as well try. I mean, they lost 6-2, 6-2, so I think they've just got to take more risks going forward. And I think Dineno has to start pulling his weight a bit more. Now, obviously, I just said that 8 winners is not bad. Yes, I agree, it's not bad if you have an ultra-attacking backhand player next to you. But A, LeBron doesn't generate as much as the other two ultra-attacking backhands in the world, who are obviously Dabian Coelho. And B, Dineno was used to generating quite a few more winners when he was playing with Stupa just last year. So I just think he's probably lost a little bit of confidence in himself. You can almost see him when he's kind of going forwards towards the net that he doesn't feel as comfortable as he did before. Now, before with Stupa, he gave me a bit of a vibe like Chingoto's giving me this year with Galan. Just very good at blocking, very keen to get forward. Even the Dineno smashing was really impressive. I mean, it was actually, I'd say, better than what Chingotos has been this season with Galan. It's just that Chingotos' overall season has been better because, well, he's been better at blocking, better at defending, better at a number of other stats. But yeah, I just think that Dineno has it in his locker to generate more winners. He has to just try and go for it, I think, a little bit more. And from LeBron's side, again, same. I mean, yes, he had quite a few unforced errors. I mean, obviously, he racked up all of the pair's unforced errors by himself. But 15 winners is not enough. And you put it rightly. I just think he's in a different league to Galan right now, to both Galan and Tapia, really, at least on the backhand. Who knows what he's capable? Well, we all know what he's capable of on the forehand, but at least when he's healthy. And I do think that a fundamental issue, or maybe the fundamental issue with him, is just his head. I mean, they were completely in the match up until that point where he foot-faulted. It was a blatant foot foul. I understand you're going to get, well, angry, etc. But his head just went completely. And I think another thing that I think he should really start taking into account going forward is when things aren't working, change it. Because I think one of the key kind of patterns of play during the match was that Galan was coming up to the net really tight and trying to block everything. And I don't think that LeBron's aerial play in terms of his bibor and bandeja is strong enough to generate errors in Galan's blocking. So if he's not managing to do that, he's got to change it. He's either got to play a deep lob and take a risk in that sense, or maybe just play down low or go for the middle. There's obviously a variety of different options you can go for, but I don't think that the idea is, okay, Galan's coming up to the net, he's one of the best blockers in the world, I'm just going to try and go for it every time and see whether he makes a mistake at some point. No, that clearly wasn't working, and they didn't change the game plan. So maybe it's a bit of, maybe we should think about Silingo's role as well and how much he can actually change and affect the pair from the bench, because obviously they've been doing pretty well. But I think that from a coaching perspective, when you listen to Jorge Martinez, for example, he influences games and manages to get into Galan's and Chingoto's minds far more than Silingo does. I just think that when LeBron loses it, he's lost it. It doesn't matter who he's speaking to. Even if Dineno's saying, hey, come on, let's go, we can do it, he's just out. He's in another world. So I don't know what coach is capable of managing LeBron, but I think that they really have to try and find solutions from the bench and just change their game plan a little bit more if things aren't working.
Yeah, I wonder who can actually get in LeBron's head and influence him when he's on one of those benders of just like, yeah, and his head's gone. I mean, I think it's quite difficult and quite a challenge. But I mean, I think going maybe back to Dineno, one of the key stats for me, because when you look at it at face value at his performance, you're like, okay, you know what? It's not a terrible performance. But to me, the key stat is the number of assists. And he's just had one assist throughout the whole match. And that's what I'm kind of trying to say, that it didn't feel like he was playing very complimentary and he was trying to construct a point and he was trying to make the ball go to places where LeBron could then take advantage of. So that's kind of what's lacking to me. And as you said, I felt like a lot of the times LeBron was kind of was trying to construct the point and they wouldn't change. It was always trying to go through LeBron, who was trying to find Galan quite a bit, but Galan was blocking absolutely everything. I mean, he was a wall out there and they just didn't change it up at all. I felt like they didn't try and play a lot through Chingoto. And maybe that's like how they have to do it. But yeah, I mean, in terms of point construction, that's kind of like a worry for me. But I do agree with you as well. It didn't feel like they, even though it was clearly that it wasn't working and their game style wasn't working, they had no answers for it and no changes.
Yeah, and I don't want to go kind of off limits and think about what partner could get the best out of LeBron. But genuinely, and thinking about Yang Wass's individual performances in Paris this week, I genuinely think they'd make an unbelievable pair. Now, obviously, they probably hate each other, but you have an aggressive forehand player who generates a lot of winners and is taking risks and also has impressive defensive abilities, alongside LeBron, who has just got back to the backhand, maybe needs a bit of support in terms of the winner, kind of percentage of winners generated on the pair. So yeah, I was just thinking off the top of my head and I thought, hey, that'd be a hell of a partnership, particularly taking into account that Yang Wass and Stupa had a decent week, I'd say, and probably an improved week in Paris, but they're yet to have a big win. And that's probably going to determine whether they continue together next season, don't you think?
Yeah, it was actually my favorite match of the whole tournament was actually the semi-final between Yang Wass and Stupa and Tapian Coelho. And I mean, if you just look at the score of the match, you probably think that it's just quite ordinary. Yeah, you know, Coelho Tapia semi-final, if I'm not mistaken, 6-3, 6-4.
Yes.
But actually, when you look at the match, I mean, Yang Wass and Stupa played really, really well. In particular, Yang Wass was amazing throughout the whole match. And he's had an incredible tournament, I think. Also in the quarterfinals, he was unbelievable against Paquito and Cardona. And I mean, just looking at their contribution scores, so Stupa positive 2.2 and Yang Wass positive 7.9. So basically an 8 from a contribution score perspective. He generated 18 winners, 7 unforced errors, and 13 out of 15 smashing. I mean, that is unbelievable. I think he had better smashing numbers than Tapian Coelho did. So incredible individual performance by him. I thought Stupa at the beginning was slow and kind of got hit, it took a bit for him to get into the match. But then in the second set, I thought he started to be really good, really determined, and had a couple of big smashes as well to add. But I mean, Yang Wass, incredible. He's come a long way. I think especially offensively, it seems like he's added now the smash as a proper weapon of his, especially some of the smashes were all the way down the line. I mean, the ball was flying up. And one thing that he's always done so well was being able to read offensively the game to know when to get really tight to the net and be there for easy por cuatro balls. He showed that again in this match. I mean, there was a couple of times where he played a really good volley. He knew that the ball that he was going to get back was going to be a low ball, easy one for a por cuatro, and he was right there to tuck it away. And he does that so well. But like I said, I mean, the smashing was really, I mean, top notch, especially in a court that supposedly it's been one of the slowest in the year. So Yang Wass for me was the highlight, and I think Stupa can still play better. I mean, like I said, I thought in the first set he didn't start quite right, and in the second set he definitely got a lot better. So if Stupa is kind of able to go past that, you know, if he's able to generate kind of 15, 18 winners, because I do think now the way that this pair is shaping up, I'm almost kind of want to say that Stupa is the one kind of constructing the point and being a bit more defensive, and Yang Was is maybe being more the finisher, which I think it kind of works. I mean, I think Stupa defends quite well, and he's able to move the ball around quite well from the back of the court. But if he's able to just add a little bit more, just a little bit more offensively, then I mean, I think that's what's really going to take them to the next level. But if you get these sort of numbers from Yang Was, then I mean, you should really be up there contending.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it was definitely one of the best matches of the tournament. I also really liked the quarterfinal between Yang Was and Stupa against Paquito and Cardona, because obviously fourth seeded against fifth seeded. We were already, well, we chatted before this week, and well, we were obviously both looking forward to their matchup because they hadn't faced each other yet in an official match. And we had the feeling that Paquito and Cardona were kind of getting, were almost performing better than Yang Was and Stupa. And I think this was a big thump on the table from Yang Was and Stupa. And actually, Gonzi, you were talking about Yang Was's stats in the semi-final, which were obviously very good. But I don't know whether he had a chance to have a look at his stats in the quarterfinal. He generated 25 winners and 3 unforced errors. I don't think I've ever seen those stats from a forehand player.
Not from Yang Was, that's for sure.
Yeah, but even, have you seen Goyo generate 25 winners and 3 unforced errors? I mean, it's just a plus 22 balance is just absolutely baffling. So yeah, I mean, I think Yang Was had a sensational week, and that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, because I do think that LeBron's been the better one in his partnership so far with Dineno, at least the one who you feel has the potential to maybe cause more problems in Chingalan and Goyo and Dabia. I was thinking, who can he team up with? Just me being a bit negative, but also me kind of, you know, looking at transfers. Who can he team up with and add that extra bit to his game? And it's just Yang Was comes to my head straight away. And he's probably just the only player that comes to my head right now, thinking about the other forehand players. But yeah, I mean, as, moving on to obviously the semi-final and just adding a few comments to yours, I do agree with everything you've shared. I think Stupa has to just pull a little bit more of the weight of the pair, I think, because he's not, it's not like he's having bad performances, but last season he was being differential in a lot of matches with Dineno. And that's one of the reasons why they fought for the number one spot right until the end. And even in previous seasons, when he played with Alex Reif, when he played with Pablo Lima and other partners that he played with, he was the player, kind of the differential player that led them to tournament wins and to trophy wins, because he's basically won tournaments with all his pairs. So I think there's something in his game that's just not quite clicked this season. We'll see whether he manages to find the way to a trophy by the end of the year, because to be fair, as I said, he's done it every season. But I agree. I mean, I think Yang Was has been the one leading that pair. And your observation about the match being much tighter than you can probably, well, see in the score. Yes, I agree. However, they didn't generate any break points, which just kind of keeps pointing towards the fact that Yang Was and Stupa have improved, I'd say, because they had a good week in Paris and they beat Paquito and Cardona, who were playing well and challenging for that fourth spot. And they put on a good show against Goyo and Tapia, and individually they had good performances. But when it really matters, they just can't quite get it right. And ultimately, I think that's really worrying for a pair that I think their ambition is challenging the top pairs. And by the top pairs, I mean, well, not just LeBron Dineno, but Chingalan and Goyo and Tapia. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. Maybe between now and the end of the season, if they keep continuing, well, they continue to progress and they might consider sticking together. But if they don't beat Chingalan or Goyo and Dabia between now and the end of the season, will they stick together even if they kind of had good feelings and beat the rest of the pairs? I don't know.
You know the name of the one person who can pair up with LeBron and beat Goyo and Dabia. And then maybe this could be a little prelude of what our next episode discussion can be about, because I think that there's just one name out there that can pair up with LeBron and that could challenge Goyo and Tapia. But maybe let's leave it for the next episode, shall we?
Yeah, I agree. I think we should let people kind of stick around with the intrigue, although I'm sure about 99.9% of people will know who we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. There are rumors flying out there, but yeah, let's leave it at that. I mean, I completely agree with everything you said about Stupa and Yanguas, and yeah, let's see how they go in the next, how they end the season, because obviously that's probably going to be a massive determinant into whether they stick or not. But I think this probably brings us to the end of the episode.
Yeah, 100%. And guys, we've had a lot of fun. I mean, I think I'm already wanting and needing more pair changes, which just reflects the fact that I'm just a bit of a, I'm probably not the best kind of fan. I mean, as soon as a pair doesn't deliver or doesn't perform at 100%, I'm already complaining about them and thinking about whether they're going to split and who they're going to pair up with. But it's just, I know these players are unbelievably ambitious, and I can just, when you think about LeBron, you can just think about what he's feeling right now. And he's probably thinking, this is not working, next. This is not working, next. I mean, we saw it with Paquito, and you just have the feeling that he's probably thinking the same way. But yeah, we can leave it for next week. Other than that, have a great week, guys. And please leave your thoughts, comments, everything in the chat. All the best.
Yeah, please give us a like and do subscribe to the channel if you have enjoyed. And yeah, leave us any feedback. I mean, we have been getting some feedback for the last couple of weeks, and it's been really good feedback. It's been really great. So yeah, do hope you enjoyed this episode, and definitely stick to next one, because it's going to be a really good one, I think.